You see my title for today. Last month I preached on the first GPS system, and we wondered what we was going to get out of that, and now I'm wondering what we're going to get out of this. This church here is a church that's up and down this time of the year. It's either up in the mountains or down at the beaches. And so we'll get back to normal, as Brian says, before too long, though. The first astronaut to go into space was a Russian, whom I cannot pronounce his name, but that was in April the 12th, 1961. He went around the Earth in 1 hour and 8 minutes. They beat the United States of America by 12 days. On April the 24th, 1961, we know that Alan Shepard went up into space and came back down. He didn't go around the Earth at that time. Later on, in 62, I believe it was, John Glenn, he went into space and went around the Earth some three times in 4 hours and 55 minutes and 23 seconds. Today I want us to look at one of the most mysterious and unusual men in Scripture. And this man is listed in the book of Genesis, chapter number 5, where it says there that he was the seventh from Adam. His name is Enoch. The first astronaut, which was not an astronaut, was a was not. And in this chapter, according to most commentaries that I read after, they call this the obituary chapter. It says over and over again that these men, so-and-so lived so-and-so, and they died. In other words, they lived a certain amount of time, and then they died. So we have recorded here in Genesis chapter number 5, there are 9 men that were born and had sons, and they all died. And as you read this chapter, you'll find out that there's some 1,500 years of human history in these 9 men that are mentioned. Only 2 men in the Bible that says they walk with God, and that was Abraham and Enoch. Now, there may have been others that walk with God, just like today. There are people that walk with God. We may not know their name, but nevertheless, they walk with God. And then in the Bible, there's only 2 places or two recorded times in the Scripture that it says that man pleased God, and there may have been others that pleased God. But only in the Scriptures it says that Jesus and Enoch pleased God. So we're told that for 300 years, Enoch walked with God, but he lived 365 years of life. So I take it that some 65 years of his life, he did not walk with God. Because 300 years, he walked with God, and then 65 years, he did not walk with God. So what was it that changed the life of this man by the name of Enoch? There are 3 references of Scripture that I'm going to use this morning, and I'll ask you to turn there, or you can get them on the screen behind me here, and I'll read from these. In Genesis chapter number 5, there in verses number 21 and down through verse number 24, notice what it says. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And you'll notice in these verses here 2 times where it says that Enoch walked with God. But we notice here again that there was a period of time that he did not walk with God, just like maybe in your life. I know there was about 18 years of my life that I did not walk with God. I did everything that every young boy would do in that day and age, just like you did. But there came a day when I heard the gospel, and I come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if you study the history of this man by the name of Enoch, he lived in a very productive time, much like our day, but maybe a little bit more primitive than our day. I mean, they had places to live. They were raising cattle. They were making music in that day. They had the conveniences of that day. So I take it that Enoch lived 65 years not walking with God, and I'm sure he probably walked like other men of that day, just like today. We've got a lot of people today that's not walking with God, and then we've got some people today that are walking with God, and I praise God for those who are walking with God. And so this is the direction that our world is going in, much like it was in the days of Enoch. We've got some that's going along with God, and there's some that's not going along with God. But after 65 years, there came a circumstances in his life that came unto him. And what is it that caused him to begin to walk with God? We know that his son Methuselah was born. We know that Methuselah lived longer than any other man that had ever lived. He lived 969 years. And Enoch walked with God because I think of the meaning of the name Methuselah. Methuselah's name simply means when he dies, it shall come. What is the it that shall come there in his name? The judgment of Noah's flood came in the same year that Methuselah died. 969 years old that he died, and we know that he walked with God, and then God took Enoch away. Enoch was not the only prophet to whom God revealed the fact of the judgment that's going to come upon the world. I realize there was New Testament prophets, and this generation, they did not repent either. They did not come to a saving knowledge of God. And we know that judgment is going to come again. This time, it's not going to come with a flood, because every time you walk out after a rain, there is a sign that most people will see in the heavens, and that is a rainbow. And God says, that's a sign unto you that I will never destroy this earth again with a flood. But we know that the next one is going to be with fire. According to 2 Peter chapter number 3, says that the current heaven and the earth are reserved for fire on judgment day, clearing the way up for the new heaven, excuse me, and the new earth that is going to come upon the earth. Now, what does it mean that Enoch walked with God? Now, you hang with me. We're going to go somewhere. I'm just filling in a few things before we get there. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except that they be agreed? So, walking together requires a shared purpose. In other words, you want to go in the same direction and have the same values. A moment together to make progress. And now I realize if God is going north and you're going south, then that you're not going to walk with God. And so we've got to walk in the same direction. If he's walking in the right and you're walking in the left, then you know you're not walking with God as you should. So we're going to look at some things here on why Enoch walked with God and became the first was not. You ever thought about this? I mean, that space shuttle that we send up into the air every once in a while, and I realize that's somewhat complicated. But I just looked up a few things. Do you know how long it takes the space shuttle to leave its platform and get into space? It takes 8.5 minutes for it to get there. Do you know how much fuel that it burns in 8.5 minutes? Well, it's loaded down with 750,000 gallons of liquid hydrogen, and it's got 200,000 gallons of liquid oxygen, and it burns it all up in 8.5 minutes, and it cost America $1.5 million in 8.5 minutes. Pretty good. That's kind of like the people that was up at Alexander's yesterday. Everybody was at Alexander's yesterday. And they were taking in money by hand and fist. I've never seen the like. If you're going to buy anything up there, you're going to get in this line, and it goes all the way around here and all around over here, and it was amazing. So we realize that they can go into space and they can spend some time there. I think one feller here a while back, he got tied up there and didn't get back. But think about this man by the name of Enoch. It tells us here that we need to walk worthy of the vocation in which we have been called. 1 John 1:7 says, walk in the light as he's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do I need to read that again? But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, that means you're going in the same direction. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're walking in a standard as being a child of God, showing that we believe in him and that we have faith to know that he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary everything that we read about in the Word of God. So 300 years he walked with God, and he became the first astronaut. Now, can you imagine? It didn't take 750,000 gallons of liquid hydrogen, nor did it take 200,000 gallons of liquid oxygen to get Enoch off the ground and into the presence of God. Now, can you imagine what it must have been like for him as he stood there one day and just went up? I mean, that's amazing to me. And some people feel like he's going to come again. Who knows? We'll look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, why was this man taken without seeing death? We realize the Word of God says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and afterwards the judgment of God. So why did this man be favored over other men? Were they not other men in that day walking with God? I really don't know. But it simply says here that God took him. I mean, why was he an exception to this matter of going to heaven without dying? We're not told in order that we should not see death. But what does this mean for us? Is this a promise unto us? Listen, is this a promise unto us if we walk with God that we will not die? If we walk with God, will we not die? In a sense, it does. Now, hold on here. I'm going to take you somewhere. You hold on to it. John 11, and there in verses 25 and following, there's a story there concerning two sisters. Their names are Martha and Mary. And they have a son. They have a brother by the name of Lazarus. And if you remember, they sent for Jesus to come. And they said unto Jesus, our brother is sick, and so would you come? But Lazarus died. Jesus waited 4 days before he got there because many in that day believed that the spirit kind of hung around with the body for 3 days. And so he waited till the fourth day for him to come. And so Jesus shows up, if you remember, and there in John, one of the verses, our shortest verse in the Bible, it simply said that Jesus wept. And then he says, where have you laid him? And of course, the sister said, why, by now he's stinking. You don't want to open up no tomb for him. Well, I mean, you know, they didn't have the modern conveniences that we've got today. And so here he is. And by this time, he's stinking. And he said unto the men, roll away the stone. And they rolled away the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I've always said, if he hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have got up. Amen? And so Lazarus came forth, bound in his clothes. And they said, unloosen him and let him go. And we know that Mary said unto him, says, well, Lord, says, you know, this is impossible. He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe thou this. So the believer who has passed from this world is not in some semi-conscious world out there. They're not in some deep sleep that is out there. They're not locked up in some room. They're not on some fluffy cloud singing Kumbaya floating around. But my friend, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Say amen. Amen. The believer is fully alive in another world. Soul and spirit departs this house that he has lived in. One of these days, if the Lord does not come in the rapture and gather us home, and that's what I'm looking for. I know a lot of people are looking forward to dying, but I'm looking forward just getting caught up like Enoch did. I mean, in a glorified body, changed like unto him. In other words, he lives in another world. And one of these days, I'm going to live in another world. If the Lord doesn't come, if the Lord doesn't come and catch us away, we realize that God, or the funeral director, is going to roll me down this aisle here. He's going to turn me across here and going to open that up. And you're going to come by and you're going to say, boy, don't he look good. No, he don't. That's not natural. That's not natural. But while you're viewing the house that I lived in, ever how many years God let me live up on the face of the earth, I want you to know I'm going to be shouting in the glory. I'm going to be rejoicing with him. So he says unto Martha, Jesus says unto Martha, whosoever lives and believes in me, that's Christ, shall never die. Now the believer shall never taste death. Quicker than one blink of the eye, we're going to leave this world and go into the next world. And Enoch's life, this was not, was a testimony to us that if we walk with God, we shall not taste death. And now let me come to a third thing about this man by the name of Enoch. Faith always requires a previous revelation of why God is doing things. God just don't do things just to be doing things, but God does things in order for His purpose and His plan and for His glory. If God calls one home, it's for a purpose and a plan. If God does something else, then that's a purpose and a plan. I remember several years ago, my wife said unto me earlier, she says, I believe we're going to be down this year. And we are down somewhat. But I remember, this is about as many as I had in the jailhouse one time. I started out in a jailhouse preaching. And I started out in the nursing home. You say, why did you start there? They couldn't leave me. They couldn't leave me. I mean, if you ever been in a jail and you heard that door click, only good thing about that, you know that he's going to come get you out, but they're not going to get to come out. And I know when I first started to do that, everyone in there wanted me to go on their bond. And I said, fellas, I'm not here to go on your bond, but I'm here to set you free in Christ. And so Melissa and Tammy and myself, and I used to go, and I'd take them to the jailhouse, and we'd play and sing and make music for them. And then I'd go to the nursing home, and I'd preach in the nursing home. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, got this old boy there, and he's preaching. He's preaching this message. I mean, he's on fire for God. He's not preached many sermons, and he's just preaching and preaching. And he's preaching on the matter about going out here and knocking on doors and getting people to come to the house of God. And there's an old feller sitting over beside of me, and he said, you need to get out here, and you need to visit, and you need to knock on doors. And that old guy says, but they won't let us out of here. So they couldn't get out of the nursing home. Notice what Enoch receives. In the little book of Jude, only 25 verses here, full of spiritual dynamite. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. To do what? To do what? Verse 15 answers that. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So, what was Enoch's revelation? He saw a time of judgment that's going to come from the Lord upon the world to judge this earth. Did Enoch see the coming judgment of the flood upon the world in that day? I really don't know where he saw it as a flood, but he noticed something here concerning the matter that God's going to send a flood upon the earth. What was Enoch's revelation? Well, you have to go back to Genesis chapter number 5. And Enoch's first child that was born, he named him Methuselah. And when, as we notice here, when he dies, it shall come. In other words, get ready because there's a judgment going to come. And what's the judgment? Well, we know here that he's going to come with 10,000. And that's a number that we really can't put a number on. So here he is. When he dies, it shall be seen. Did you ever think about this? Did you ever think that Enoch walked to the door sometimes or looked out the window, and every time he saw Methuselah walk away from the house, did he wonder if he was going to come back home? I mean, you know, in that day, it was very difficult day, just much like it is today. It's not safe really to walk the streets at night. I mean, you've got to be careful. Every time that Methuselah walked out, did he wonder that somebody was going to take his life or somebody was going to kill him somewhere on the road and then it's going to come? Again, the year that Methuselah died, Noah had built the ark. He'd gathered all the animals and they'd come in. And if you hadn't been up to see that ark, you need to go up and see that up in Kentucky. It's a thing to go see, amen? I mean, it's wonderful. It takes you several hours to go through it if you've never been there. And I'm not getting any compensation from them, advertising for them. I'm just saying you need to go. It's a wonderful place. And I just pulled it up this week, and it says there that they've made a lot of changes to it. We were there on the first opening day. I'll never forget that. They had guard dogs. I don't know what kind of people they thought was coming to look at the ark, but they had dogs out there. And the ladies had to lay their purses over here to the side. And this dog was coming by and sniffing them to see if, I guess, we had any drugs or guns or whatever that was in there. But what a joyous occasion it was. I've always enjoyed history. And I thought to myself, and I realized maybe that there was more put into that ark than maybe Noah had and his sons put into that ark. But can you imagine old Noah out there and his three sons and them building this boat as huge as it is, and that crowd coming by and they're shaking their head, says, there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with him. Yeah, there was something wrong with him, all right. He knew that the Lord was going to come. Now, more could have got into that ark. But only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives got into that ark. Now, it never rained before. But it's going to rain. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And can you imagine that crowd standing on the outside out there that had never felt a raindrop in their life? And all of a sudden, a raindrop hits them on the top of the head or on the shoulder. And they're saying, he's right. I want to say to you, Jesus is coming again. And there's another judgment coming. And it's going to be a flame of fire that's going to burn everything up. So we realize the fountain of the deeps opened up. The rain came down. The whole earth changed. And for 150 days, I believe it was, that ark finally rested on Mount Ararat. So God gave Enoch a revelation that reflected in the name of that child. And he says two things. He says they will be judged for all their ungodly deeds, all the deeds that did not center around the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son. He says shall bring them under judgment. And there's a lot of false teaching out there concerning the Word of God. And one of these days, they're going to be brought in the judgment. And then the second thing it tells us there, and they will be judged for all the words that is spoken against Christ. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 13 says, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. That is a venomous snake. Now I don't like snakes. You may like snakes. You may have a pet snake. Keep him at your house. I don't want him. You say, well, they won't hurt you. Nobody will make me hurt myself. I don't fool with snakes. I know a lot of people have them. They got them in pet stores and all like that. I don't like snakes. And so, as we stand somewhat like Enoch now, Enoch knew that judgment was coming. And this wicked world that is out here, they may not know, but they should know, there's coming an end to this. There's not going to continue to go like everything's going. So we stand this morning knowing that another judgment is coming. And we know that it is a judgment of fire. Do you want to walk with God and be a was not? Or do you want to walk with the world in sin and spend eternity in a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? How many remember our son? Was it last week? Eternity is a long time to sit and wonder where you messed up. Eternity is a long time to sit and think where you messed up. So we realize if anybody's here not ready, you can get ready. You say, how can I do that, preacher? You can come confessing your sins unto God, take Him by faith, believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for all the sins of all the world. That includes anybody that will come. And you can get born into the family of God. You say, that's difficult to do. No, it's not. If God can save me, He can save you. You say, was you a mean little boy? I just like every one of you. Just like every one of you. I'd do just anything. Back before I got saved, I could cuss like a sailor, if a sailor cusses. I don't want to just get that group out. But I could cuss. And when I got saved on September the 15th, 1965, I had to change my whole vocabulary. Yeah. And you say, well, what about now? Well, it took me a while to get my hells and dams out of my mouth, but I finally got them out. And I did carpenter work for a while for this guy, trying to make ends meet. And we was up here right above Alexander's store, up there building a house. And we were putting on tin. If you ever put tin on top of a house and holding it with your finger, sometimes the thumb will get in the way. And I hit that thumb. I hit it good. I hit it so hard that it split the nail. And it made me sick. And the guy who was with me, he runs over there. And he says, won't you just go ahead and say what you want to say? And he grabbed my thumb. And I said, praise God, hallelujah. That wasn't what he was expecting out of me. But anyhow, I worked with three women back at that time, and I'm sorry to say I had no respect for them. I used language around them that I shouldn't have used. And I went in on Thursday morning, and I hadn't said a bad word to them. They thought I was sick. They said, are you feeling good? I said, I'm feeling the best I've ever felt. I said, I just want you to know at revival meeting last night, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm saved. And I'll not use those bad words around you anymore. I thought them three women was going to have a shouting spell. They got to crying. They come over there, and one of them put their arm around me. She said, I just want you to know, ever since you went to work here and you've been using that language around us, we've been praying that God would save you. We're glad that God saved you. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that this will be the day you'll come and trust Him. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Father, we know that life is like a vapor. It's only here for a little while, and then the Word of God says it vanishes away. Help me, Father, to walk with You that if You should desire to call me home, or if You decide to come in the rapture and take the whole church home, may we be ready. And if anyone here this morning is not ready, may this be the day that they surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and begin a journey of walking with God and become one day a was not, much like Enoch did. All this I do pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.